I apologize if I seem or feel, I kind of feel a little scattered right now. I know sometimes it's clear with the scripture that the Lord lays on my heart for whatever it might be. But then sometimes it's more I feel something and then I'm like, okay, what scripture best brings this out, if that makes sense. So today's more of one of those feeling. I don't know if that's good or bad, but if you want to turn in your Bibles to Luke 1. Luke 1, again, I know the idea that I feel like the Lord laid on my heart. I've spoke on or been there before, but I don't know if I've exactly, it'll come out that way again, but we'll just see where the Lord wants to go today, amen. It's already been good in His house. If we don't get anything else out of, I think that our Heavenly Father just desires that childlike faith from us again. That, again, not living dangerously just to be dangerous and not rebellious, but just, you know, but just sensitive, hungry and thirsty again, because He promised if we are hungry and thirsty for Him, we'll be filled. I don't know the word to even put on it, but not that we've been going through the motions, but I did. I was walking in the driveway this morning, and I was just praying for the church, for this church, you know, everything, you know, things that are going on, and I felt that. I felt like the Lord was saying, hey, there are people that have just, their name's still written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're still good people, but that, I don't know, that unknown, that where you're vulnerable and you're in areas, you're in, whether it's spiritual or physical or both, where, man, the Lord needs to really show up here or it's not going to end well. And unfortunately, many of us, we're never in that situation anymore. 99.9% of our situations, we can handle it. God loves us, but we never have to depend on His interaction or His involvement to get out of it or to see what we felt like He prompted us to. Amen? And that's me. That's been me for a while. And again, He's just nudging me out of that. And I'm going to go back. This is very familiar scripture. Forgive me if these are not really made to throw in a computer bag with 50 pounds of stuff. And I pull these out and they're kind of bent. I was trying to bend them back to the right shape during worship a little bit. But this is familiar scripture. I'm just going to try to pull out what I felt like God laid on my heart here. So in Luke 1, let's say 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord's with you. Blessed are you among women." Now, the first word, and I've never really saw this before or made any notes on it before, but I underlined it in my Bible. I underlined the word virgin. And I just kind of to myself this morning was making some notes. It was like what God was fixing to ask of Mary, she did not have the capacity at this moment in any way, shape, or form to perform. She was a virgin. So, and she might have studied Isaiah, the scriptures from seven centuries before. And she might have known Isaiah 7:14 that said, hey, the virgin will be with child. It was prophesied through Isaiah. But in her state, there was no way she could do what was fixing to come. Much like, that's kind of, you say, well, you know, that's obvious. She's a virgin. But there's, and sometimes these words jump out off the scriptures to me. I remember I was reading, I'd studied, we'd heard David and Goliath time and time again. But I was reading it one time, and I have a New King James Bible, and when it was talking about Goliath, they describe him as a champion. He was the Philistines' champion. And it just jumped off the page. And I just, but it took, I chewed on it. I was like, why? I've read this many times. And it was like the Lord finally kind of revealed to me. It was like, why was he called a champion? Because he was winning. He won. And it that might not sound like a big revelation, but to me it was like, it almost like made me want to, not because we can't fight the enemy physically, but something rose up in me and it was like, you know, I'm letting this defeated, lying, deceiving enemy be a champion in my life, much like Goliath. And the Lord's like, yeah, I want that righteous indignation to rise up in you and quit letting a defeated foe be a champion. Does anybody have any areas in your life where you just seemingly, you don't know what your record might be, but you lose more than you win? I know I do. It's kind of like that Christmas scripture when you go back ahead of this a little bit, talking about Zacharias and Elizabeth. And it goes through all these things, and they were righteous before God, and they did their best before God. But, that reminds me of me. You know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, but. Anybody got a but, and then there's something in your life that consistently you struggle in. And I one night at the shed, I called it your kryptonite. All these things may be going okay, but you have a kryptonite area where if you get to going too good with God, the enemy can be like, ooh, Brett's been in the Word lately. He hadn't been in the Word that consistently for a while. You know, Brett's been spending time with God. He's getting a little bit dangerous again. Let me pull out my ace. Let me attack here. Anybody got those areas? I know I do. I know I do, but God's saying, even with those areas, get out of the boat again. You may have missed the last 50 times I've prompted you, Brett, to get out of the boat, but I'm going to prompt you again. Just get focused on me, and the next time you feel that prompting, get out of the boat. Amen? That's all he's asking. It's not deep theology. Let's just begin to believe him like a child again. Amen? But she was a virgin. She could not do what was fixing to be asked of her in herself. And if you think about it, that's every one of us. If we're hearing the Lord and we're trying to share the Lord in the world we live in, and again, he's not here to say, I know you. You've been so consumed with your world, you've quit trying to share my... I'd be in the front of that line, but God's not angry with me this morning. He was like, what I've called you to do, you can't do without me when and if you yield to what I've called you to do. Amen? So we're much like Mary. We're no different. She's not on a pedestal. Yeah, she's fixing to be told that even though you've known no man, you're going to be pregnant and that's going to be called the child of God. That's a big deal. But it's no bigger deal when the Spirit of God moves on me or you with all of our issues and says, hey, I've called you to be the light of the world. Amen? That's no less from God's perspective. I'm not trying to be blasphemous, but her call's no bigger because there are no measures. God doesn't measure that way. Amen? Yeah, she was going to be the mother of God. Yes. But which was prophesied, but in our life living before the Lord, it's no different. You know, you may be called to, you know, Billy Graham's call from God's perspective was no different than when you're called to be Christ to the least of these. Is that what Jesus said? When you show the least of these love, you've done it to me. And that's what changes the world. Amen? It's those individual things. So she was a virgin. And I wrote down completely unable or inadequate to do what God's called her to do. And we are too, apart from God. But we got to remember, what does the Word say? You don't have to turn there. I'll just turn and read it. 1 Corinthians 1:16. 26 says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And he's chosen the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are." So every time that devil or your flesh whispers, "Man, there's no, I am unworthy for this." Yeah, but God. But God. God's got his radar on, so to speak, or his spirit is searching to and fro to just find somebody that will stop in their tracks, irregardless of what's behind them, and say, "You know what? Lord, help me." That's all he's looking for. And we have to remember that he chooses the lowly things of the world to confound those that have it all going on. Because when we begin to try to return to that childlike faith, guess what? The enemy's going to be there every step of the way, showing you the list, reminding you of the list, reminding you of how many times you've dropped the ball, how many times you've ignored the call to get out of the boat, how many times you've taken your eyes off and sunk, and it ended poorly. He will. That's how he works. We have to combat that with the Word of God. Amen? Because he will do that. He's done it to every mighty man in the Bible. He tempted Jesus. He shows himself to Jesus after the 40 days in the wilderness and attempts to twist the Word of God to the Word. That's how bold the enemy is. He knew that Jesus hadn't eaten for 40 days. In his humanity, what does he do? "If you're really the Son of God, turn these stones to bread." So when Brett House is weak in an area, guess what the devil's going to do? And he may not show up with the red tail and the pitchfork. He's going to tempt me by twisting Scripture. He's going to tempt me in my point of weakness. Sid said it says it before. He's like, Adam and Eve had everything you could imagine. They walked with God every day. But there was one thing in creation at that time that was off limits to them. Where did the snake tempt them? And we're no different. That kryptonite area, the enemy will come after that, whatever it is in your life. Linda Carter, we're going to get to it in a minute because we're going to, and I'm going to try not to be long. I'll get there in a minute. I'll bring you up again in a minute because you were on my heart a lot this morning. But back to this. If we combat the enemy with Scripture, what did God say, or what does God say? We will learn to not let our emotions in the moment carry the weight. But when the enemy gives us our list, he gives us that kryptonite area, that area that you failed in time and time again. What does the Word say? Jesus says that in your weakness, my strength, if you will turn to me, Lisa Phillips, in your weakness, that is the doorway for my strength to come in perfection. So as, you know, we didn't this morning, I'm just using this as an example. Let's say, you know, I'm supposed to preach at church. Not to say that we haven't ever. But it wasn't today. And let's just say Beth and I have one of those Sunday mornings. Anybody ever had a Sunday morning pre-church? And in the past, You know, like last week. No, I'm just joking. But I'm my own worst enemy. But let's just say, hey, you know, I'm speaking at church, and we have one of those mornings. So I'm battling driving to church. The devil's there saying, stay in the boat. How could God honor that? What's the Spirit say? What's the Word of God say? Jesus is there saying, hey, buddy. Yesterday afternoon, you were feeling good because you felt like you had a good one. This morning shows you you don't have squat. Yield to me right now. You feel totally inadequate, but my word says, I said over you that if you will confess, I'm faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. And if you will submit to me and lay down all of your carnal whatever, that's the doorway where my strength can come in perfection. So that when I move today and you leave and are walking back to your truck, you know you had nothing to do with it. That's the choice we have, Lisa. That's the choice I have every day of my life. Not about speaking at church, but about living before the Lord. And I choose wrongly so many times, Cindy. I don't get out of the boat because. I don't whatever because. And the Lord's like, that very thing, when you yield that to me, my strength not only comes, but it comes in perfection. Amen? Amen? So I don't know how we got on that. Oh, 1 Corinthians. It's like he uses those things. He uses the scars. He uses the mess ups. He uses our humanity to bring down those things that, you know, seemingly have it all together. Amen? And his word says that. His scripture says that. But then it goes on. Let me read a few more verses here. She saw the angel. This is verse 29. She saw him. She was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. And behold, now this is where he tells her basically about the birth of Jesus. We've heard it before. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Amen. Hallelujah. Pray, glory be to God. That's like the visiting evangelist calling you forward, having never met you, and giving you this. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever had that? I have. Not being arrogant, but I've had that. Beth, I know you have. I remember Damon, it was over here, about right here, talking about how you were a deep well. I remember seeing him do this. If you go back, if you back up a few scripture verses in the same chapter of this work, chapter of Luke, the same angel, Gabriel, is saying another really awesome discourse to Zacharias about John the Baptist. All these things he was going to do. He was going to come in the spirit and power of Elijah. He was going to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the hearts of the children. He was going to prepare a people for the Lord. Woohoo! Gabriel, in both instances, didn't mention these things were going to happen. And they did happen and are continuing to happen. Present tense, future tense. But he didn't mention anything about Gethsemane. He didn't mention here anything about being left in a prison to John the Baptist. He didn't mention anything about losing a head. Because there was no, in earthly terms, carnal terms, happy ending for John the Baptist on this earth. But what did Jesus say about him? Even though John the Baptist questioned, I mean, he had the audacity to tell the disciples, This is the same guy that when his focus was on the Lord, he saw the dove descend. And he was the first one to proclaim with his mouth, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Yet fast forward however many years, and he was, because of circumstances and his focus, he said, Is he really the Messiah? Or should I be looking for another one? I mean, think about that. If it can happen to John the Baptist, it can happen to any of us. What's the scripture say? Where your treasure is, I talked about this last time I spoke. Where your treasure is or your focus is, there's where your heart's going to be. And what does Proverbs tell us? You better guard your heart above everything else. Your focus. Because out of your heart, the issues of life, everything in life flows. So guard it. How do you guard it? How do you guard your heart? With word. What'd God say? What did God say? Because again, not to beat us up, but I just feel like, and again, I felt this morning as I was walking up and down the driveway. I feel like as Christians, many of us, me at the front of the line, we believe. We do believe, without a doubt. You couldn't convince me otherwise. I don't always trust like I should, but I believe. But all too often, because of my lack of daily communion, I talk to God every day. I do. But Scripture says that He rewards those that diligently seek Him. And I can't put that word in my talking to God a lot. Diligence. Hunger and thirst for His presence. Because Jesus said, if you hunger and thirst for my righteousness, you'll be filled. It's better than not talking to Him, and I do talk to Him. But, and you don't have to talk to Him with diligence 24 hours a day. I'm not talking about zealots or robots. But is there a hunger? Is there urgency in our communion with the Lord? And only you and the Lord know that. Are you seeking God every day? Are you spending time with God every day? Because in the world we live, you have to. If you don't, you will be like John the Baptist. Circumstances will dictate your focus for that moment, that day. Amen? You will still be saved. Your name has not been blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life, but you will not be sensitive to the Spirit of God because your focus is on the storm, and you will sink, Peter. And we've all done it. I'm tired of, God's just, He's not angry. He's just inviting me with like a loving father out of that right now. He is not angry. He's not saying it with sternness to me. I felt love this morning. But He's like, Brett, I'm giving you an invitation to return back to where, you know, my word carried more weight in your walk. And not circumstances. Amen. I've never lost my salvation since October 97, but I have definitely had seasons where, you know, I wasn't childlike in my faith, and circumstances carried more weight than the Word of God in my life. Anybody? He's just inviting us out of that. Amen? Amen? Because as He told Mary what was going to happen with Jesus, I wrote down, again, where's her focus? I think she had a good heart through this, because even though she doubted, she said, how can this be? You know, I haven't been with a man. It was a legitimate question. And you may have questions when you begin to feel that prompting of the Lord again. How can you prompt me? I have dropped the ball so many times in this area. I can't do it, God. I've proven I can't do it. I can't be a good steward. I can't let circumstances not cause me to be anxious. I can't. He's like, I know you can't. Get back in the Word. Get back to seeking me. Amen? Get back to declaring my word over your circumstances. I used to do that. Recently, and I know I'm rambling, it may be one rambling kind of Sunday morning, But I was at work here recently, and I used to do this much more often than I do now, but it felt so good. And God didn't withhold in that moment his goodness because it had been a while. He's a good father. But I was at work, and I got this book out, Lisa. It looks rough, and I've talked about this multiple times recently. But Lisa and Terry J gave me and Beth this book years ago in Sunday school. And I got this thing out, and I had Bethel Worship Essentials. I'm so old school. I'm just now starting to play Apple Music on my phone. It's like, you know, it's like. So my scheduler was out that day, so I had our office to myself, and I had Bethel Worship music playing. I got this book out, I felt like I was fixing to go somewhere that I needed to get up and close my office door. Maybe that was the Lord. And I just began to read this book. And it's just, you know, it's broken up into areas. Like this one's, what to do when troubles hit your life. I flipped to it. And I just began to read this scripture quietly with the music playing. I was sitting at my desk. And as I read through these things, I felt that it had been a while, but it was common. I felt that feeling start to come up in me. And I was like, I gotta stand up. I can't sit here at my desk and do it. And I began to read these scriptures. And then they kind of morphed in the moment. You know, you got the Bethel worship music playing, and then I just, after reading through these once or twice, I began to like turn them into prayers. You know, the first one, it's Nahum 1:7. I couldn't find the book of Nahum without a table of contents right now. Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows those who trust in him. And I read through all these scriptures and I started back over and I said, Lord, you are good. You're a stronghold in the day of my troubles, and I confess that I believe in you as much as I've ever believed in you, but I haven't trusted you. But in the name of Jesus, with your help, as I begin to trust in you, I thank you that you are my stronghold in trouble. I just started these, and say, what are you saying, you crazy speaker? I'm like, I was communing with a loving father, and he was turning me upside down in that moment. Just get back in the Word and spend some good time with your Father, and he'll invade you. He will invade that moment. And I began to cry. I began to squall. I began to say, you know, Lord, I declare in the name of Jesus that my children will say this from their heart, and it'll be true. Lord, you are my stronghold. It erupted into this volcano of God's goodness. At 2:00 on a Tuesday in an office in Noonan, Georgia. And it had been years since I'd felt that way, Cindy. So what are you saying? I don't know what I'm saying. But try it. Just try it. I guarantee you I would not have got that out of Facebook. Or UGASports.com. Or Fox News. Not saying they're evil, because I know what happened. What got me squalling was it just so happened to be that song, You Make Me Brave, started playing in the background. And I started saying, Lord, I just believe with your goodness that's going to be my children's hearts. They're not just going to get saved. They're going to be brave in Christ. And I declare it as a father. I say it in the name of Jesus. And that song, she was belting out, you make me brave. And I just was squalling because I was declaring it over you, Hannah. And it had been too long since I had. And there was a time the enemy had a fight on his hands when he decided to pick on some, and I've given him a free ride too long. Amen? He can't touch my salvation, but he can definitely try to screw up circumstances and get my focus off the Lord, because in 15 minutes, and it was probably 15 minutes, I went through these scriptures, and it just exploded. And I'm not saying it'll happen to you the first time. Just try God. Just try him. He created. I'll tell you, like I told, when we went out on visitation 15 years ago, And this girl came to the door. She said she was a, I don't know what she said she was. She didn't know. She just wanted me off her porch. She said she believes in Mother Earth and how we're supposed to be kind and good to Mother Earth. I mean, what do you say to that? And I gave her a tract. I know that's old school, but I still got the one I was given when I got saved. It's faded so bad you can't read it, but man, it's precious. I said, tell you what. I said, hey, I'm going to give you this. I said, don't read it right now because it'll be like reading ESPN, a magazine. Just hold on to this. And when you're using the restroom or you're sitting on your couch and you got a few minutes, I said, just read through this tract. I said, because I promise you, I said, I serve the God that created the earth that you worship. And he created you and he died for you. And I said, I believe with my whole heart that if you will read through this and have an open heart, he will speak to you. That's all I said. And then she closed the door and I walked off. So how much more will God reveal himself to you as a child of God if you confess where you are and say, Lord, I'm going to sacrifice. It may be a sacrifice for a while. Your flesh will scream when you don't go to where you normally go with your time. Let me just go ahead and tell you, it might not, it will. Talk to God about it. Lord, it's been too long. It's been so long since I felt anything like Brett was clamoring on about. But Lord, I know I need to get back in. I need to get back in good communion with you. I know that. So I just ask you to make it, just turn it into a prayer. Amen. I'll say this. When we were up in Washington with Trevor back in April, I had just got this book out. And I remember walking, my God, we walked so many miles, I don't know where, from one exhibit to another. It was a great trip. But I remember, it's in this, it's a scripture we've said a million times. Oh, it's Psalm 121. I remember being on that trip walking, and I was praying, and I was concerned about, I can't remember what was on my heart at that time, but it was like, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. And I remember when I said, from where does my help come from? I just remember tearing up. I don't know where we were in Washington, but I started tearing up because I was walking around declaring these scriptures. I will look to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And if I'll start getting out of the boat again, the Lord who made heaven and earth, who loves me and died for me, if I do start sinking, guess what? If I repent, he will come and rescue me. That's what I'm talking about, tapping back into that childlike faith. I'm losing my notes, but we won't get there for time. I don't want to keep you here all day. Just dare to tap back into that. If you've never done it, try it. Amen? God will meet you there. And you'll start to have an excitement. You'll start to have a hope. Anybody struggle with having, it just feels heavy a lot. The hope that you might have used to walk in, circumstance. Now, circumstances may not change quickly, but your outlook can change quickly as you begin to invite God into it. Amen. I believe that. I believe that. Because if you look in this scripture, and I know I'm missing it, I'll get back home and read my notes. Oh, man, I should have read that. I should have read that. I should have read that. Let's go on. It says, Mary says, how can this be? Brett said, how can this be? Mary said, I don't know a man. Brett said, you've seen my failures. You've seen me screw up, mess up countless times, Lord. It's not just Mary here dealing with something from heaven. We all do. And when you turn back to him and he begins to draw, what does it say? Draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. He promised it. He won't not do it. Because he can't not do it. Why? Because he's a good God? Yeah, but that's not even it. Because he said so. What does his word say? And I just want us to mature. Not, and it's a balance. There's childlike faith, yes. But even in that childlike faith, believing it because of what Daddy said. He said, if I draw close to him, he'll draw close. I'm going to take you at your word. Amen? He said it. There was going to be a virgin that was pregnant with child. Why? Because in Isaiah 7:14, 740 years earlier, God said it. If God promised, but it does change when God begins to move and all of a sudden it's in your lap. We're at just one more man conferences and we all amen and raise our hands and do the Holy Ghost jig when God promises through somebody. Hey, God, I believe God is going to move in West Georgia and draw the hearts of the men back to God. Yeah! But what about when the Lord then says, this is how I want you to help me bring that to pass. Oh! It changes, right? It's like this is not even in my notes, and I'm going to try to wrap it up here in a minute. Because I could, not that I see myself in Elijah, but the scripture about Elijah in 1 Kings 17 just speaks to me so much. And I was rereading it the other day. And my point is, as we begin to seek God again, just his presence, I want to reiterate this, and I get this. And I know I've rambled, and I apologize. Our ultimate treasure or blessing as we begin to seek his face again, as we just simply get back in this, it won't fix every issue, but if we will just simply get back in this, or if you've never, maybe you've legitimately accepted Christ as a teenager, but you've never really had the word's never really been a big part of your life. If we will get in this, it will fix most everything we deal with. Will it fix it completely? No, but the anxiety that's raging from a real problem that's raging up there in the 8, 9, and 10 range, when we see it through this, there may still be things that need to be dealt with, but the anxiety we carry is down around 1 or 2 or 3. Does that make sense? If we will just get back in the Word. That little episode I had at work came when I just began to read Scripture. And it just exploded. I can't even put words to describe it. But see, that was uncommon in my current life, but I remembered how that used to happen to me a lot. It did. It did. It did. I guess what I'm saying is, as we do that, and you cannot, and God won't be mad, and you can still carry what you're carrying today. Or you can, and just see what God will do. But here's the thing I do want to throw out as an undergirding to all this rambling. The treasure, the blessing, the ultimate blessing as we do this is not an outcome to an issue. The blessing is the Lord. So what are you talking about? The blessing is God's presence. The blessing is feeling God's nearness. The blessing is having him prompt you. The blessing is having him speak to you, because he will, because he loves you. I'm not promising you the outcome will be what our flesh wants. It could, it couldn't, it might not. And what got me down that line of thinking, if you read that scripture of Elijah, and it's just full, you could preach sermons out of every passage, every verse. You know, supernaturally he goes before the king and declares it won't rain till I say so. Then he goes to Zarephath. And then he goes to the brook Cherith. And God supernaturally keeps the king from finding him, supernaturally provides at the brook, supernaturally feeds him twice a day with ravens, so he doesn't have to go out and hunt where he won't get found and killed because the king's looking for him. Well, then, that's awesome. But then what happened? It said the brook dried up. Why did the brook dry up? Because God said it wouldn't rain. So God doing what he said he was going to do caused his supernatural provision for Elijah in that season to dry up. See, if our focus is the provision or the circumstances or the outcome, we're mad. Lord, I went before the king. And I did exactly what you told me to, and I know you've provided for me, but his focus stayed on God. And what does Scripture say? He went to Zarephath, and he finds the woman. We've all heard it preached. She was picking up sticks to go build a fire to cook her last meal. Her and her son were going to die. Elijah says, "Hey, make me a cake first." Old TV preacher want my last dollar. My last cake. No. Amazingly, she obeyed. Okay. And then he said something to her. We read it and we live like he said, "Now your flour and oil won't run out." That's not what he told her. What did he say? He said, "Your flour and oil won't run out until it rains." When God answers prayer on behalf of the nation, I've got a nation to impact here. I'm going to provide you in this area that you and your household can flourish while I'm getting their attention with no rain. But when I send an answer to prayer or my will or supernaturally send rain on this nation to get their attention, boom. You can get a hoe and go plant some seeds and feed yourself. What do we do? We may be thankful for the flour and the oil. Then God sends rain and it messes up our gig. And we're over the barrel and we write doctrines and stuff. God don't move that way anymore. No, he just said, I'm moving, but just in this way. Does that make sense? I don't know how God will move when you begin to seek his face. But his word says he'll meet you there. I will reward those that diligently seek me. I don't know. It may just be with his presence as we go through the storm like we sang. I don't know. Only God knows. But I want to fall back in love with his presence. Because as we go through storms, as I sink, he rescues me. As I complain, you keep going in that same scripture, Elijah gets so depressed, he while he's eating a meal that an angel had made for him, he's asking God to take his life. I'm like, I can relate. I can relate. I can pop the bubble of God's goodness in a nanosecond with my own humanity. God didn't get mad. He just let, almost like Elijah was on the reel. And he let him go to that cave. And he sends a fire and an earthquake. But then he finally whispers, "Hey, Elijah, what are you doing here?" And I believe God is whispering that to somebody. "Hey, Rhett. You've been in the boat too long. Just get back in my word. Just spend time with me again and let's see where this thing goes. I'll be there with you. I won't keep you from the fire all the time, but when you go through the fire, it won't burn you." I believe I've read that somewhere before. "When you walk through the waters, they won't overcome you. But let's get out of the boat again." Amen. And I believe that's the challenge to us as a church. I know it's a challenge to me because, and we'll close with this, Gabriel gives this tremendously ridiculous statement of what Jesus was going to do and be to a virgin girl. And then, if you would, stand to your feet. So I have to stop. But it goes on, and in verse, he gives her this ridiculous request. Not request, but declaration. But then he gives her two lifelines. And he does the same to us. When he, as he's calling us back into childlike faith and to just believing, declaring the word. And again, I encourage you, get not silly with it, but childlike with it. Go get you a book. You can borrow this one if you need to. And turn, see if you're too religious, you'll be like, I'm brother, I don't know why. Well, go get you a book and turn to the front of it. And you fighting depression, just try to, oh, what to do when you're feeling depressed. Okay, I'll flip to there. And just start reading, walk your house and just declare this word. Because that word's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen? Word of God's alive. But as you do that, God will begin to call you out of the boat again. But he'll always give you some lifelines. So what are you talking about? Let's see what he did to Mary. Verse 36. Now indeed, Elizabeth, so Mary's head's got to be reeling right now. She's believing. She even says, behold thy handmaid here in a minute. But that's a lot of times like when I've left a church service, it was one of those good church services, and I went to the altar and I confessed some stuff. And then about halfway through town riding home, I'm like, oh my, what have I done? And guess who's right there whispering? Two things, two people, the Lord and the enemy. But it says, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. You're not the only one. You're not the only one who's been called to yield to the Lord and have something supernatural happen in your life. You're not the only one. And when as God begins to call you into areas of, and it'll be uncomfortable maybe, you're not the only one. Make sure you're surrounding yourself with people that challenge you spiritually. Amen? Why do you think Gabriel told her that? Hey, I know your head's spinning right now, but guess what? Your aunt, you might not know yet, but 6 months ago I was at her house. And she was called barren. Well, 6 months, she's pregnant now. Now, it was a little different. Her and Zacharias had to follow through. And here it was a little different. But he gave her a lifeline. Hey, I know I'm calling you. I know you got all these mess ups in your life. And I'm calling you to this. Well, let me tell you. I know you feel like you don't have it all going on. But let me tell you about Linda and Keith Carter. Let me tell you about here. Surround yourself with people that will challenge you spiritually. Amen? You might not cut off those that don't challenge you spiritually. You're supposed to be light to them. But you need to have some people in your sphere that challenge you spiritually. Amen? That have been there and done that, perhaps. Let me talk to Courtney why. He doesn't seem to freak out about stuff. Amen. So he says, hey, you got relatives that are going through similar circumstances here. And to trump even that, what does he say? The trump card through it all, though, is with God, nothing is impossible. You could be a poor steward of time, resources, relationships, your whole life, Brett House. But I'm calling you out of the boat again. And with God, it is possible for you to be a good steward. irregardless, because in your weakness, Jesus' strength comes. Amen? Just get out of the boat. Believe it again. I'm calling you out for a reason. Because what does Hebrews say? We come before the throne of grace with boldness or with confidence to receive help in our time of need. Not just to be made whole, but then to go and help others with their issues. Amen? So what did God say? Surround yourself with people that will challenge you spiritually. But the ultimate default answer, when the enemy, not if, but when he starts giving you, reminding you of your list of why you can't get out of the boat, what'd God say? Yeah, but. Yeah, I know my batting average is horrible here, but I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And you say, well, is there magic in that? No, but you might have to walk around. You might have to close the door to your office or your bedroom. You may have to turn the phone off and get the Bible out and walk your living room or den and say, you know what, and not let circumstances or emotions drive the train. Lord, I've got scars. I've dropped the ball. I feel guilty sometimes from the pulpit because my kids have seen this and I'm up here saying this. But the Word of God says, I am a new creature in you, Jesus. The old has passed away. Behold, all things become new. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you just start walking with God. Because if He's called you out of the boat, there's a reason. Amen? Amen? What did God say? What did God say? So I guess we'll close there. I've got a few more things I was gonna bring up, but for time's sake, I won't, because I mean I've got a whole list here of men and women in the Bible that were called to get out of the boat and they didn't even handle it right. Every conceivable lie the enemy could whisper to you, there are men and women in the Bible who did the same exact thing. What's Scripture say? That you're not, that there's no temptation that you'll have that's not like everybody else has. Not the only one dealing with lust or procrastination or poor stewardship. The good thing is, again, yeah, it's good for me to go find a brother that's gone through this storm and come out the other end. That's awesome. Don't neglect the gathering together of the saints. But the Word says trumps everything. What did God say? Amen. But I just pray that by faith that we will begin to have the ear to hear what the Lord would say, and that we would, again, that the ultimate prize, the ultimate treasure, the ultimate blessing is feeling and walking in with God's presence again. Through, and I pray that circumstances change. I pray that you get, he's a good father. He wants good things for us. But I want our eyes to be primarily on him, his presence. I remember with my grandparents, it was their presence. As a kid, I liked the blessings. But I went to the Carters when I needed to escape me. You saw that me out here raging around Bremen. Even as a running from God, when I was in my teenage years, there was something in here that I would get tired of me. Sick of me. Anybody? And I would go to Buchanan. Spend the weekend with my pawpaws. And it was almost spiritual to me. I didn't care what they, my grandmother would fix the biggest pot of hamburger helper you ever seen in your life, and we'd eat it till Sunday. It wasn't like I was going out to fancy places to eat. We I might go to town and get a biscuit with Papa Carter. But it was just something about, it was an escape from me. And the Lord's like, I'm so much better and bigger than your Papa Carter was. Just come to me. Let me love you. Let me heal you with my presence. And then whatever blessing may or may come out of that, that's the icing on the cake. But I just pray we're whole again in here and in here. Amen? I want to be whole again. A double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways. You know, I can't enjoy what my flesh wants because I've tasted too much of God. But then I bring in guilt and shame. There's instability in that. The Lord's like, let me heal you of that. Amen. Father, I love you and I praise you. I pray that through, by your Spirit, that you've spoken to somebody's heart. You know, there may be somebody driving down the interstate 3 years from now and come across this podcast and you just speak to that heart. Be like Steve Hill when you spoke to me through him, and I don't even know how old that tape was. It changed my life. So Lord God, we can't put you in a box no matter how hard we try. But I just pray, Father, that we as individuals, as families, as a church, as a group of believers, as a community, we would just return to seeking your face. Perhaps out of duty at first. But Lord God, I know you'll meet us there. Your word is alive. Your Spirit is alive. You breathe on dry bones and they live. And I just pray that over this house, the church, this community, that just childlike faith again, getting out of the boat again. And I just know, Lord God, you'll meet us there. And I just thank you by faith for what that will bring. But more than anything, I pray that we fall back in love with your presence. Your presence. Your presence. And I thank you by faith for that, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We are dismissed. I pray God spoke to your heart through that, challenged you in some way. But just take him at his word. Just see what he'll do. Amen. He's a good God.